ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
You chant these verses. Sa eva bhagavan ananto ananta gunarnava adideva upasam rithamarsha rosavego lokanam swasthaya aste. Sa, that, eva, certainly, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta, Anantadev, Anantaguna Arnava, the reservoir of unlimited transcendental qualities. Adi Deva, the original Lord, or none different from the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upasamhrita, who has restrained, Amarsha, of his intolerance, Rosha, and wrath, Vega, the force, Lokanam, of all people on all planets, Swasthaye, for the welfare, Aste, remains. Lord Shankarshan is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities. And thus he is known as Anantadev. He is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anantadev's main mission is to dissolve this material creation, but he checks his anger and intolerance. This material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. After the creation, they again exercise their old propensity for lording it over the material world. These activities of the conditioned souls anger Anantadev, and he desires to destroy the entire material world. Yet, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is kind toward us and checks his anger and intolerance. Only at certain times does he express his anger, and destroy the material world. Om Agyantimidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatishva Patantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suthe Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Lord Shankarshan is the ocean of unlimited spiritual qualities. And thus he is known as Anantadev. He is none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the welfare of all living entities within this material world, he resides in his abode, restraining his anger and intolerance. I am very grateful to be back with all of you in New Dwarka. Thank you for being here. In this purport, from the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25, The Glories of Lord Ananta, text 6. Srila Prabhupada writes that this material world is created to give the conditioned souls another chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But most of them do not take advantage of this facility. The Lord descends again and again. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. To remind us of the very purpose of life, the very purpose of creation. Creation is designed in such a way by the Creator to ultimately frustrate all of our attempts to falsely, unnaturally try to be the controller, the enjoyer, and the proprietor. And to ask the basic questions, who really am I? Why is there suffering? What is the purpose of life? And how to achieve it? Atato brahma jigyasa. When one actually sincerely makes these inquiries, the Vedanta Sutra tells, that's when human life really begins. Human life is the precious opportunity for self-realization. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. And it is so rare. And when one comes in contact with the path of true dharma, it is the rarest of all rare gifts, the ultimate treasure. And how it should be carefully, conscientiously protected. And utilized for its purpose. But material existence is such that even when we have the greatest of all great things that takes millions of births to achieve, our tendency is to take it to be something ordinary. And oftentimes, to lose it. Or let what life just pass without really taking advantage of this ultimate gift. There is that famous story of one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And Srila Prabhupada told him that within this cosmic manifestation, this universe is just a tiny little speck. And within the universe, the earth is a speck. And within the earth, city of Los Angeles is a speck. And within the city of Los Angeles, this temple in Vatsaka Avenue is a speck, and within the temple you are just a speck, and yet you are thinking the whole world is revolving around, the whole universe is revolving around you. So here the Lord, he has such a sense of humor in which he philosophically reveals the truth. Here is Anantadev. Such a huge personality that he's supporting not just the earth, he's supporting our universe. And it describes, and this is a literal explanation, that this entire universe is like a tiny mustard seed on the top of his gigantic head. You probably wouldn't even see it on his head without a magnifying glass. And there's unlimited such universes. And in this way, the Lord is sustaining. Just to give us a view of, compared to Krishna, this is just one of the unlimited heads of Ananta supporting the unlimited universes. And yet, we think our car is so important. We think our property is so important. And unfortunate people are fighting wars over a tiny little tract of land. and we're disputing about money. You know, what is it all? Everything within this creation is insignificant. That's all material world really is. It's simply insignificant, and it's all quickly being swept away by the current of time. You can't hold on to anything for very long. Either it's going to be lost in this life or it's going to be lost at death. It's inevitable. Our bodies, our relatives, our property, everything. But in the path of bhakti, we understand that although from a material perspective, it's all dukkhalayam ashashvatam, everything's a source of misery because everything is going to be taken away, and whatever you have, you never have enough. Even if you think you have enough for a while, it just isn't what you really want it to be, or they are not what you want them to be. It's a place of great frustrations in whatever situation. Pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, fame, infamy, happiness, distress, success, failure, victory, defeat. Everything's changing in this world. But om purnam adha purnamidam. But if we see these things in relation to Krishna, we understand that everything has unlimited value. Even these little specks of universes, and even the little specks within the specks of the specks of the specks of the universe. Everything has unlimited value if we see its eternal connection to Krishna, who is Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, the source of everything. The relationships we have, yes, we're all going to die. And within the eyes of eternity, our life is hardly a moment. But if our relationships are centered in Krishna, then our relationships have eternal, unlimited value. They're precious, they're sacred. The same car we drive, yes, it's going to be in the junkyard in a few years. But as long as we're using it for Krishna, it's sacred. It has unlimited value. It's like your Rath Yatra chariots. You use those big wooden chariots for so many years, and you were paying so much money to store it every year. Sacred. It's worth billions of times more than that. But now it's going to be dismantled, and what the wood will be, where the wood will go and where it will go, that's for all of you to decide. And there's a new chariot. So similarly, these bodies which carry the Lord within our heart, we carry them for some time. Because those chariots, made out of the same kind of wood as, you know, so many as the taverns and the bars of LA, same kind of wood is probably there. Well, one is in the mode of ignorance, and the other is divine, sacred, and eternal. Because those chariots were used for Krishna. In the service of Krishna, in remembrance of Krishna. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains, he compares this body to a chariot. And the five senses are the horses. The mind are the reins to control the horses. The intelligence is the chariot driver, and the Atma, the soul, is the passenger. Everything's supposed to be going according to the desire of the passenger. And the passenger is part and parcel of Krishna, an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. Therefore, the horses, the chariot, the mind, everything, the intelligence should be directing that chariot in the service of Krishna. So our Rathayatra chariot, throughout its existence, all that wood and metal and whatever else was being used to glorify Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's our choice. What is the passenger, the Atma, in this body going to do with this chariot? Is it going to be a Rathayatra chariot? Used to glorify the Lord and bring other people to the Lord for a joyous festival of life? Or is it going to be used for so many other purposes that this chariot is used for? For trying to be the controller, trying to be the enjoyer, trying to be the proprietor, and becoming entangled in endless karmic complications. And when we have a new body, which is going to happen, in Jagannath Puri, they dismantle the chariots every year. After the return Rathayatra, they dismantle 700 trees to make those chariots every year. And they use it, they burn all the wood to cook for the deities. And a new chariot. So similarly, according to the Vedic standards, the chariots of our bodies are going to be burned. Or according to the Western standards, they may be buried. Either way, finished. But the eternal sacred value of why we have it and what we have and our relationships, as long as the chariot driver of our intelligence is always focusing toward the will of the soul in the service of Krishna, then we can actually perceive the sanctity, the sacredness of everything that exists in this material world. Krishna says in Gita, "For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me." That means seeing that everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy. In that sense, through the philosophy of Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, we understand how everything is one with God and different than God. As a sun ray is one with the sun, but different from the sun. Krishna is the cause of all causes, the source of everything that exists, and the ultimate object of everyone's love. But everything that exists, apparently spiritual or material, is Krishna's energy. Therefore, it's an expansion of Krishna. And it's perfect. And it's sacred. It's beautiful. If we see it in that light. Even death is beautiful when we see it in that light. And birth is beautiful. Because we're not seeing through the eyes of flesh, which just sees flesh and blood and material elements. But we're seeing through our heart. We're seeing through knowledge of the soul. And therefore we're seeing the beauty of Krishna in every opportunity that there is for anything to be utilized for Krishna's pleasure. And that was Srila Prabhupada's sublime teaching to us. I remember once seeing Srila Prabhupada, he was using this example, and he said, "Is this microphone I'm speaking material or spiritual? If it's used for political speeches or singing passionate songs, then it's material. It's not the microphone's material, it's your perception of it is material. But if it's used to glorify Krishna, to chant Krishna's names, then we see its true essence. We see its inherent spiritual potential, and it's spiritual. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Ananta is showing us the true nature of this creation. We shouldn't take the creation from a material perspective very seriously. We should take Maya very seriously because she's trying to strip our consciousness away from the truth. But when we see the universe decorating the head of Ananta, then it's absolutely a spiritual, wonderful thing. If we don't see it in relation with Ananta, then it's just a little speck that's soon going to be destroyed. That is our choice. And the whole material existence is just to understand this principle. To give the chance of the conditioned souls who have diverted their attention away from their true interest to bring us, not just intellectually or theoretically from our hearts, a sense of needing. Feeling the need to reconnect with God. And Srila Prabhupada explains that everything of this universe, all qualities, have their origin in perfection in Krishna. Even anger and intolerance. We're told that anger and intolerance are enemies to self-realization. They implicate us so much in illusion and ignorance. But here we see that Lord Ananta, who's the Lord, Shankarshan, he has anger and intolerance. But his anger and intolerance is an expression of his love. It's not an expression of his frustrated ego like ours. Material anger and frustration is simply nothing more than that. We're not getting what we want. Things are not going the way I dictate they should go. This world is Kunta, a place of anxiety, because things simply won't go the way you want. And when they do, it's just setting you up to become attached so that you suffer more when it doesn't. Very difficult. But the Lord's anger and intolerance, and the great souls in this world, their anger and intolerance, is an expression of their love to help us. It's without ego. It's without malice. When a loving mother becomes angry with her child, it's to teach the child. It's not that she hates the child. The anger is just a tool to help the child to understand. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada, when somebody was not understanding things properly or when they were taking things very cheaply, he would demonstrate anger just to shake people up, to understand the seriousness of this subject. And sometimes foolish people would accuse Prabhupada, you're not supposed to get angry, you're a saint. He's getting angry because he cares about you. He's not just idly, neutrally, just giving you some knowledge and not really caring at all whether you get it or not. It's an expression of love. intolerance. We should be very... Mahaprabhu teaches us, amanina manadena. We should be... Taror ibasihishnu. We should be more tolerant than a tree. Completely tolerant. But here it describes that the Lord is intolerant as an expression of compassion. Cannot tolerate seeing his beloved children suffering. When he's giving his beloved children the highest ecstasy of divine love, and we reject that to choose a life where we have to suffer birth after birth after birth. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to Haridas Thakur, I cannot tolerate seeing the conditioned soul suffering like this. How will they be delivered? Haridas Thakur said, they're chanting. You're getting everyone chanting the holy name, so everyone's going to be delivered. Well, what about the inanimate objects, like the trees and the plants? He was unable to tolerate the suffering of the trees and the plants being bereft of love of God. And Haridas Thakur said, but when you hear an echo and you chant, that's the trees and plants chanting in return. In this way, Thakur Haridas, he didn't just say these things, but he was willing to get beaten in 22 marketplaces to give this beautiful gift of love of God to others through the chanting of the holy names. So this type of intolerance is the highest virtue of quality because it's based on selfless love and compassion. Any quality, when it is springing from a genuine love of God and compassion to all living beings, are the most beautiful ornaments. But those same qualities, if they're springing from the egoistic misconception that I'm the enjoyer, instead of liberating us, they entangle us. As far as this anger and intolerance, I will end a class by giving an example. Lord Shankarshan or Ananta is non-different expansion of Lord Balaram. Tadit Mataji, so nice to see you. Hariho. He's sitting like such a scholarly saint. The Shankarshan, Ananta are expansions of Lord Balaram, whose appearance day was just a couple days ago. So we'd like to remember him. Here is an Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam. They explain in great detail who is Maha Shankarshan, this expansion of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the source of Mahavishnu, the source of Shirodakshai Vishnu, the source of Garbhodakshai Vishnu. He's the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, is his expansion. The Lord of every universe, and who expands himself within the heart of every living being. Coming from Shankarshan, Balaram, was an expansion of Krishna. And just as Ananta is supporting and facilitating the entire material creation in his original form of Balaram, he's supporting and maintaining the whole spiritual world. Lord Balaram expands himself to sustain the entire abode of Goloka in all of the Vaikunthas. And in such an ecstatic spirit of servitude. He's so enthusiastic. Although he's a supreme God, he wants to show that the highest quality of happiness is to serve. Now, Balaram is God. He could just say, I am God. But he wants to serve. And Krishna, all he does is serve. And Ram, all he does is serve. And Hanumanji, all he does is serve. This reciprocation of service and love is the highest expression of spiritual perfection. To serve with love. So Balaramji, he is so enthusiastic, he expands himself to be the jewelry of Krishna, the shoes of Krishna, the couch of Krishna, the bed of Krishna, the clothes of Krishna. Nothing's just inanimate. It's all Balaram, just, I'm here for you, Krishna, in every possible way. The very land that Krishna walks on, Balaram expands himself as. Just as Lakshman, the brother of Ram, his life, his soul, his everything, Lakshman is none different than Balaram. Just serving. He didn't sleep in 14 years. He was just awake to guard and render any service. Here he is, Lord Shankarshan, the source of Ananta, who's holding all the universes on his head. And Lakshman is going out and picking herbs and picking flowers and giving them to Sita to make garlands for Ram. When they went to Chitrakoot, Lakshman, he got straw and he cut wood and made a little house for Ram to live in. All by himself. Didn't hire a construction crew. Did it with his own hands. Such a menial service. Just breaking trees and tying them together. He didn't have nails and hammers. He would just take twines from creepers, from trees, and wrap them around the wood in such a nice way to make them a structure to live in. The beauty of service. So the Lord Balaram descends into this world just to help Krishna in attracting the hearts and the minds of the conditioned souls back to his loving, eternal service. And I'll give an example of how one time Lord Balaram became angry and intolerant. Out of his supreme compassion for all living beings. Would you like to hear? Hare Krishna. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata there was this war brewing between the Kurus and the Pandavas. The exploitation of Duryodhana toward the Pandavas was unbearable. And even though Krishna himself and Balaram himself and so many others tried to create peace, Duryodhana was so envious, he could not listen. Even he wanted to arrest Krishna if Krishna didn't take his side. Bhishma and Vidura are telling him, you are fool, crazy, you can't arrest Krishna. He's the supreme absolute truth, he's God. Duryodhana knew that. But because of his envy and his arrogance, he was so covered over, he still thought he could arrest Krishna and force Krishna to take his side. Because he was so expert, he could get practically anybody else to do what he wanted by his diplomacy or by his threats. He thought he can even do that with God. When he sent his armies to arrest Krishna and his assembly, Krishna manifests the Virat Rupa, the universal form. And all the soldiers ran away and stood back in awe and reverence. and nobody went near him. And then Krishna just resumed his original form and laughed and said, Duryodhana, you are such a fool. And left. And still Duryodhana thought he can defeat the Pandavas. Anyways, when all attempts for peace failed, it was decided, dharmakshetre kurukshetre. In the field of sacrifice called Kurukshetra, they were going to fight this war. Now, whose side to take? Krishna naturally took the side of the Pandavas. But he staged it in such a way. Krishna knows past, present, and future. He knows everyone's heart. He even staged this so that it was Duryodhana's choice. Yes? Krishna really gave him every opportunity. Said either you could have one Akshahini division of my soldiers or you could have me, but I vow I won't fight. Which one would you like? Duryodhana, if you're not going to fight, what use are you? I'll take your soldiers. And Arjuna was very happy. I want you, Krishna. Wherever you are, there is victory. But Balaram, he was inconceivably merciful and compassionate to everyone. Just like the other day we were talking about Narada Muni. Narada Muni told Kamsa, now, why are you letting Vasudev, and he didn't say that exactly. Kamsa allowed Vasudev to be free with his wife, with the child, and Narada came and said, you know, I was just at a meeting with the demigods. And the whole meeting was a conspiracy to kill you. And all the demigods are going to take birth as the children in the Yadu dynasty, and any one of these children could be Vishnu. Just wanted to inform you of this. And then Kamsa arrested Vasudeva and Devaki, put them in jail and killed every one of their children. And we might think, why did he do that, Narada Muni? Because he's so merciful. He understood the six children of the Satgarbhas who were cursed to be born in this way, and their only desire in life was to go back to their original place. And he knew that they would go back to Godhead eventually because of the arrangements he was making. And he wanted to speed up Krishna's descent into this world for the welfare of all living beings. And also, he knew that Kamsa was going to get liberated. So he was thinking about the benefit of Kamsa too. So Balaram actually loved the Pandavas more than his life. But he also loved Duryodhana. He agreed to be Duryodhana's teacher. He taught Duryodhana how to fight with a club, even knowing he was going to fight with the Pandavas. Why would he do that? Because he's Balaram. Inconceivable achintya shakti. Everything the Lord does, he knows he has the perfect reason. And it's always out of the highest love and compassion for all living beings. So Balaram was impartial. And when the battle of Kurukshetra was to begin, he decided to go on pilgrimage. He didn't want to be around. He didn't want to take sides. He didn't like all this fighting. So it described he went to so many holy places and eventually came to Naimasharanya, where a whole group of sages had gathered to hear Romaharshan Sutta speak from the scripture. They were performing a grand yajna. When Balaram appeared, all these great realized liberated sages and yogis, they saw Balaram. They knew who he is. He's the Supreme Lord. They stood up with folded palms. They greeted him. They chanted beautiful hymns for him. They worshipped him. And they gave him a nice seat. But in that whole assembly, one person who was sitting on the raised, elevated seat, who was the selected man who was speaking, his name was Roma Harshan. He did not stand up. He didn't even put his hands together to greet Balaram. Now, Balaram is the original super soul in everyone's heart. He knows our desires. He knows our intentions. And he understood the intention of Roma Harshan. And Balaram became angry and intolerant. He said, although he is a disciple of the divine sage Vyasadeva, and he has thoroughly learned many scriptures from him, including the religious laws, the epic histories and the Puranas, his studies have not created good qualities in him. Rather, like he studies the scripture like an actor studies his part. Because he is not self-controlled and he is not humble. He vainly considers himself a great leader, a saint, and a scholar, although he cannot control his own mind. Balaram continued, I have descended just to kill such hypocrites as this person. And then Balaram picked up one single blade of kusha grass. It's just a piece of grass. But it's a piece of grass used for sacrifice. And Balaram was about to perform a sacrifice. I guess you could call it a human sacrifice. Balaram took that blade of grass and with the tip of the grass he touched Roma Harshan. Roma Harshan fell dead. All the saints and sages were shocked to see this. They cried out, alas, alas, Balaram, why did you do that? He's our leader. He's the one who is supposed to speak from the scriptures for all of us. And before he began speaking, we bestowed upon him the blessings that he would live a long life. A long, healthy life. And he would be empowered to speak. And now he's dead. So Balaramji, we think, although you are the Supreme Lord and you are independent and you could do anything you want, just for the sake of the people in general, we think you should perform some atonement for this act. To set a good example. And Balaram said, if you like, I'll bring him back to life and make him just the way he was. They said, no, no, we can't ask you to undo what you've already done because you already used the kusha grass. And then Balaram said, according to the scripture, a father lives through the son. So his son, Ugrashrava, bring him here. And I will give all of the benedictions and blessings that you gave to Roma Harshan Sutta will be conferred upon his son. And they brought the young man there. And Balaram blessed that boy to be the great scholar, self-realized saint, to live a long and healthy life. And he became Suta Goswami, who happened to be at a place called Sukhatal. Have any of you been to Sukhatal? Raise your hand. It's one of the holiest of holy places that nobody goes. It's the place where Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. It's between Rishikesh, Hardwar, and Delhi. It's off the road about an hour. There's a banyan tree there on the bank of the Ganges where the Bhagavatam was spoken. Suta Goswami was there, and he heard it. And he understood everything. And he came back to Naimasharanya and spoke the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So isn't it interesting that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he writes that it's only by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu that I came to Vrindavan. It's by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu that I've understood the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and I have been in the association of Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu staged Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nityananda Prabhu was the guru of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he ordered and empowered Vrindavan Das Thakur to write Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. So factually, all that we know about Lord Chaitanya is by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And in a similar way, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was very instrumental because what we have as the Bhagavatam today was very much the words of Suta Goswami, who was empowered and blessed by Lord Nityananda Balaram. Then the sages said, in order to set a good example, these are the things we would like you to do to atone for killing his father. One is there's a demon named Balvala who's always disturbing our devotional activities. He's cruel, he's a murderer, he's a killer. So please liberate him. And then for the next 12 months, for the next year, go on pilgrimage to all the holy places and bathe in all the kuns and bathe in all the rivers and worship all the temples and like that. And Balaram, although he's Balaram, he's supremely powerful, loves to serve his devotees with folded palms. He said yes. And he liberated Balvala. And then he went on a pilgrimage for 1 year. So humble. To atone for liberating a person. Now it's also interesting what Balaram was trying to teach us by killing Romaharshan Suta. Although he may have performed tapasya, he may have studied scriptures, he may have done all kinds of pujas, if all those things don't produce good qualities, it's useless. That's the purpose of all these things, to produce good qualities. I often cite a particular statement Prabhupada made, which was so sweet. He said, philosophy has little or no meaning unless it produces good character. We can be proud that we are disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati or disciples of Prabhupada or disciples of Lord Chaitanya. A real disciple means living with the qualities that they teach. Roma Harshan was a direct, dear student disciple of Vyasadeva. And everyone in our parampara sits on the Vyasasan. Yes, we remember Vyasadeva every day. We're reading his book, Srimad Bhagavatam. We're reading his book, Bhagavad Gita. We're sitting on his seat. Vyasadeva is such a prominent person. Can you imagine being a direct disciple of Vyasadeva? It's a very exalted position. And not only being a disciple, but really thoroughly learning everything he said and being able to repeat it in a spellbinding, mesmerizing way. In Naima Sharanya, every one of those people were great scholars and sages, and they chose him because he was the best, most charismatic, powerful speaker. But despite all that, such a guru, such learning, such honor and respect he's getting, he didn't have good qualities. And what were the two qualities that Balaram said were paramount, most important? To be self-controlled and to be humble. Amanina manadena. Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath Das Goswami, one in the renounced order must be amanina manadena, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect in return. Inarapi sunichena taror ibasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniyasadari. Prabhupada in one purport quotes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Prabhupada elaborates on, he said, you can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra birth after birth and never attain perfection until you chant with this quality. And then he quoted Trinarapi sunichena, to be humble like grass, tolerant like tree, offering all respect to others and not expecting in return. It's not a detail. It's a priority on the path of pure bhakti. It's not how much you know. It's your humble service attitude. That's what makes a person great in the eyes of God, like Balaram. And Balaram said, all your reading of the scriptures is like an actor just studying his part. Because when an actor studies his part or her part, it's just for a show, for others. But an actor doesn't live the part. When we study the scripture, when we speak the scripture, the whole purpose is to live what's there. And predominantly it means self-control and humility. And although he was so big and so powerful and so arrogant, he was sitting above everyone else, Balaram wanted to show, as far as I'm concerned, you are less than this piece of straw. Even this piece of straw could kill you. You're so insignificant and so useless. And evil! You know, if Balaram punched him with his fist, that would give him some importance. That the Lord's fist killed him. You think you're so great, you're sitting above the greatest sages in the world, and you're such a great scholar, and you know billions of verses, and you can speak in such a way that hypnotize so many people and so many beautiful melodies. As far as I'm concerned, because you are not humble and you have no self-control, you're less than this straw, and I'm going to prove it to you. The straw is going to conquer you. So this anger and intolerance is compassion. Roma Harshan got liberated. being dispatched by the Lord himself. And he sent a message to everyone for all time to come of what's really important in being a devotee. But that same Lord Balaram comes again in the Kali Yuga as Lord Nityananda. Brajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Shuta Hoilo She Balaram Hoilo Nithai. And as Lord Nityananda, he takes that straw, and instead of touching the demons with it and dispatching them, he puts it in his own mouth, which, according to the Vedic culture, this is the ultimate expression of humbling yourself before another. It's a sign. When you take straw and put it between your teeth and approach somebody with folded hands, it's considering you're really, really humbling yourself, that I'm lower than this straw at your feet. Lord Nityananda Prabhu took that straw between his teeth and he approached even the most fallen souls. So many Romaharshan suttas were there in Navadweep. And even Dinahina Yatachilo Harinama Udharilo Thara Sakshi Jagai Madhai. Even approached Jagai and Madhai. And with that straw between his teeth, he would get on his knees and beg people. Even the criminals, even sinners, even every type of person, without discrimination, beg, please, chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your life and soul. Please chant the names of Krishna. Bhaja Gorango, Kaho Gorango, Laho Gorango Namre. And say, take the name of Goranga. Worship Goranga. Speak about Goranga. If you worship, if you chant the holy names of the Lord, as Lord Gauranga is telling, you will be my life and soul. And if anyone took to the chanting of the holy names, Lord Nityananda Prabhu would weep and cry and embrace that person and say, you are my life and soul. And if people refused and said, get you avaduta, useless beggar, get out from here, parasite, out from here, get a job. They're talking to Balaram. He could have picked up a piece of kusha grass, but he had it in his mouth. That's the problem. And he would fall at their feet, roll in the ground, and beg them with tears of compassion, please, I don't mind what you've done. Just chant the holy names. And when Madhai was appealed in this way, not only did he blaspheme Nityananda Prabhu, he chased him down to kill him, but Nityananda Prabhu came back and asked him again. And then he picked up a big pot and he smashed the pot on Nityananda Prabhu's head and he was bleeding. The blood was coming down in his face and his clothes. He still didn't take the straw out of his mouth. Figuratively, with folded hands. He said, I don't mind that you have done this to me, but what I mind is you're not taking the opportunity for ecstatic love of God. You're going to have to suffer all these sins. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached and called for his suitors on chakra, and he was angry and intolerant too at that moment, he was about to sever the head of Madhai, Lord Nityananda stopped him. He said, no. Prabhupada explains it in these words. If you kill him, you might as well kill everyone, because more or less everyone's like this. We have come in this incarnation to kill their demoniac mentality with the holy names and give them love of God. Nityananda said, actually, he hit me, but it doesn't hurt. He begged Lord Chaitanya to give him mercy. And by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, Jagai and Madhai took to the chanting of the holy names and became perfected Paramhamsa saints. Srila Prabhupada is in the line of Lord Nityananda. Not only in the form of the parampara, but in the spirit. He's an all-powerful acharya. But he called himself an insignificant beggar in his prayers. And he traveled around the world on Lord Nityananda Prabhu's behalf 12 times. So humble, so merciful, just giving the holy name, giving the culture of pure devotional service. And in cities and towns and villages all over the world, the deities of Gaur Nitai. And here we have Sri Sri Krishna Balaram. I mean, Baladev Subhadra Jagannath and Rukmini Dwarkadish. To fulfill on the highest level the real purpose that Lord Adanta Dev keeps these little universes on his hoods, to give us all the opportunities to realize our unlimited eternal spiritual potential as parts and parcels of Krishna and lovers of God, as compassionate instruments of God's love. And it can all be accessed by having a humble service attitude and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Haribo. Mani na mani.